Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Time now for the Live Wire with Fitty.
All right, got a good bit of sound today, so let's try to roll through this very quickly because a lot of Panthers spoke. We've got one of my favorite NFL draft analysts weighing in on Ladd McConkey and Matt Norlander talking about what Carolina has to do in the portal now with R.J. Davis expected to announce his return to school in the near future. We'll start, though, with the head coach of the Panthers, Mr. Positivity, Dave Canales. We played you audio yesterday of Deontay Johnson admitting he didn't know that Canales was the head coach. This came up yesterday when Canales met with the media, and this was his response.
We were having such a good time. Steak 48, I mean, some fantastic food. You know, he's probably looking at this guy. He's young. I'm asking a lot of questions, talking about, you know, how we're going to use him in the offense. And so he's probably thinking, this is the offense coordinator. It's like, great. It's awesome, you know. And so I think his agent could have helped him a little bit, you know, maybe send him a snapshot or something like that on his phone, like, hey, by the way, this is Coach Canales. And so, yeah, I did not know that until yesterday when he said it. So pretty funny in hindsight, but that's not the only time that's happened.
What do you think Canales ate at Steak 48?
Seems like a fish guy.
Yeah, he seems pretty healthy to me. I would imagine he probably got a pretty nutritious dish, either that or a lean steak.
Yeah, very lean steak, but I'm going Cam Newton pescatarian style. I think he probably got the fish. And Dave Canales having to be involved in practice, the way he says he wants to exert as much energy as the players out there, be involved, not just be one of the guys that's looking at a play sheet or a card in the background. By the way, when that happened, I wrote down because I didn't want to forget. I'm glad I brought it up. Matt Rhule was involved every once in a while, especially when we go to the tackling dummy.
Oh, man. Remember, that gave me one of my great takes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I forgot about that until just now.
One of my best coaching takes of all time.
You can tell the people. As much as I'm going to regret it, you can tell the people again.
If you remember that video, Matt Rhule's butt crack becomes exposed. And I have nothing wrong. Like, had I seen Roy Williams' butt crack, would not have complained. He won 900 games, went to 9 Final Fours, won 3 national championships. But when you're a perennial losing head coach in the National Football League, put a belt on. It ain't crack time.
Like Bill Belichick, you're okay seeing his butt crack.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, I'd walk up to him and be like, Bill, I saw your butt crack while you were doing that drill.
And then give him a thumbs up.
I mean,
you said, yeah.
Who are the list of coaches in the NFL
I don't want to play this game. I don't want to play that. That's worst radio game.
And people are
ever.
Eating.
The worst radio.
I've already tried to gross people out enough this morning. That's why I put my damn earbuds in because I didn't want to hear the story you were telling.
That story is
that
not
was
okay
an elite
for radio.
Story, Wes.
No, I didn't hear much of it. Don't want to hear it.
No,
I got to eat later.
I tell the people. I hate saying this because we can't please the T's here. Yeah.
Oh, we can.
No, we cannot.
No, we can't. But it's the worst story I've ever heard from Fitty.
Yeah.
It's number one. And there are a lot of bad stories.
I heard the first couple sentences, earbuds in, tuned out.
Well, you know what, Wes? Whenever you're telling some horrific story from your childhood.
Do what you need to do, but I ain't going to tell you nothing like that.
I'm going to tune it out.
It ain't
going
to be like that.
Because you don't care enough about me and the stuff I overcame as a high schooler. It was very traumatizing, Wes.
I learned how much your dad cares about you. I did learn that.
But you could have given me a brief, not as vulgar description of what it was.
Okay. Anyways, Dave Canales, I'm sure looks better tackling a tackling dummy compared to Matt Rhule. Let's move all the way on to the next soundbite.
Yeah, we'll move on to Adam Thielen. We're trying to talk about how his role will change next year with we expect a rookie wide receiver to be added to the offense. He says he likes entering the season as an underdog because there's an added sense of urgency.
First of all, I think it's exciting to be the underdog, that everyone thinks that we can't or we're not good enough or we were this or that last year. I think that's really exciting, especially as a competitor. to be able to use that as a chip on your shoulder, to go out there and bust your tail. And I think now that it's over, it's a good thing to look back on and say, we don't want to be that. So we better bust our tail and figure it out right now. I think it gives you a sense of urgency. I think sometimes when you have success in this league, you tend to just, when you're in now, you kind of go through the motions. When you don't have success, I think it gives you that sense of urgency to say, hey, it may be April, whatever, but there's a lot of work to do, and we're going to gain a lot of ground by being intentional, and I feel like that's something we've done so far.
Walker, you go back to the exit interviews that the players conducted at the end of the season. He admitted his future in Carolina needed to be addressed after a disappointing campaign for the team last year, despite him having a really, really good season at his age. Are you surprised 4 months later that Adam Thielen is still in Carolina?
No, not too surprised. There was certainly a possibility that he would leave, but I'm not crazy surprised. It's not like this team has a lot of wide receiver depth in the first place, and you would be getting rid of the only guy that reached the 1,000-yard mark, and we still want wide receivers, and he's still on this team because we want him to move down the depth chart, but we don't want him to move off of the depth chart. So if he's here, I am much more comfortable with the passing game, with Thielen being in this role. And he tailed off a little bit in the second half of the season. I don't know how much of that's age. I don't know how much of that is just the passing game going to complete you-know-what, because that did happen, and that wasn't even really Adam Thielen's fault. It's just Bryce Young started to play, I think, actually worse football as the season went on, and the offensive line wasn't very good. But if you have Thielen as a third receiver, or even a second, that's perfect. That's perfect, and we'll see how much he has to give to this Panthers team. But he was good last year. One of the very, very few bright spots, maybe the only offensive bright spot last season. So I fully welcome Thielen back to this team, and I'm glad he's here.
Well, Adam Thielen, I'm not going to disrespect you like, you know, you have been on this show. I respect the fact that as a 32-year-old last season, 33, whatever, 103 catches. I mean, I know that's something that is very hard to do, regardless if you're 23, 27, 33, 43, my man. So keep balling. I don't care if you're the one or the two receiver, because you put up the production to earn that. And I'm not going to disregard that like some people on this show who want you to move down the depth chart. I am of the school of, I appreciate my 100 catch receivers. And so for a guy that's going to produce for a team that I cheer for, I welcome you to keep doing what you're doing. Keep balling, baby.
Hey, well, let him be number one for San Fran.
Hey, man, listen. I'll take a 100 catch receiver any day of the week.
Another player that spoke yesterday, Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba chanting everywhere. What?
And he said the thing that he likes the most about his new head coach, that he's genuine.
Great coach so far. The one thing I'll just say that has just stood out, he's genuine. He's a really genuine guy. From what it seems like, he means everything he says. And the way he moves, great energy, very up and rah-rah, and I'm like that at times, so I like it.
Wes, should we read between the lines? Was that a subtle shot at Frank Reich, maybe Matt Rhule, the coaching staffs he's had to endure here previously here in Carolina?
You could perceive it that way, but the thing is the players are buying into Coach Canales. His track record speaks for itself with quarterbacks, and I think that, you know, for a man to write the book that he wrote, that tells you that's a genuine person to bear himself, his soul like that, like he did in that book. And I think it comes across in his everyday interactions with players, and I think it's already working on him. And, you know, I can speak from experience, you know, obviously you have a job to do, you're getting a paycheck to do so, but when you've got a coach that you know really cares about you as a person, man, that just adds extra incentive.
It is funny, here he is saying he's genuine, he can be rah-rah, I can be like that sometimes, and we are so focused on making sure we turn it to where it's a shot rather than a compliment, which is what Chuba Hubbard meant it to be, a compliment. Yeah, the Dave Canales positive stuff, it is going to wear thin on the fan base. If they are 2-8 and he still brings the positivity, we're going to say, what in the hell are you positive about? You're not winning football games. I think the players respond to it. We've seen it happen in Seattle and Tampa. I think it's going to happen here in Carolina. I think Chuba is just sharing more of that sentiment as much as the other players have on his other stops.
Well, I wasn't trying to make it a negative. I was just like, was that just a subtle shot at maybe Frank Reich was, you know, all talk, no action.
I thought you meant, was it a shot at Canales?
No.
Okay.
No, I literally said a subtle shot at Frank Reich, Matt Rhule, the previous staffs he's played under.
Let me get that next.
listening. Big part of the radio industry.
Oh, okay. You let me know. That's fair. That's fair, though. That is totally fair. And we shall move on to the next soundbite, to which I will be giving my undivided attention to.
Yeah, hopefully you do, because it's Austin Corbett talking about the move to center, because it's going to be a pretty big one for this Panthers offensive line in 2024.
It's been fine. I've been groomed to be a center my entire career, kind of even starting back in college. Played every game at left tackle, but my head coach, Brian Polian, he's like, you want to play in the league, like, you're going to be a good center. You're too smart not to. And so from that time, I've just been constantly groomed to be a center. I've been the emergency center every team I've been on, constantly taking reps. I was the starting center going into the Super Bowl year back in 21 through training camp, and then ended up shifting around. The backup center was healthier than I thought, so shifted back out to right guard, but... So it's nothing new by any stretch of the imagination.
Wes, how much did you practice the center position at Wake Forest?
Never. I was not a center, so I was a tackler. So there's that.
Well, NC so State was Austin Corbett, and he, you know.
NC State wanted me to play center, but.
Wes didn't like playing that inside stuff, man.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I played guard at Florida, and I did not like being a guard.
Are you going to ask me?
No, I was going to take a shot at him, but.
You didn't ask me if I played center or left tackle or any of it. I did like how Austin Corbett says, you know, I was too smart not to. That's what the coach said anyway. I was like, I've been practically bred to play the center position. I'm just so highly intelligent. I've always been playing center. I played center coming out of the womb. I blocked the doctor from getting to the passer, but, oh, you know, they just want me to move to a right guard or tackle position. But I've been a center my whole life. I'm with it, man. Looks like you might have some competition. So if that's the case, I welcome you being so good at center that you block for Bryce Young right beside your new guard tandem. That would be fantastic. And then if you get some more depth, the more offensive linemen that are good, the better. And I hope Austin Corbett is a part of that.
Let's turn our attention to the NFL draft. A guy that we've talked a lot about as a potential target for the Panthers at 33 or 39 has been Ladd McConkey. And for one of the better breakdowns of Ladd, we turn to Howie Quackenbush from the Boot Action Podcast.
Sounds like a Disney character. Mm-hmm.
And here's the breakdown of the wide receiver.
If you could get Ladd McConkey with the first pick in the second round, it's a steal. Ladd McConkey should be the first pick overall in this draft. Ladd McConkey is a compilation of the greatest receivers ever. He has the route running of Jerry Rice. He has the hands of Biletnikoff with two vats of Stick'Em all over those mitts. He has the speed of a track star like Carl Lewis or Jesse Owens. He is the fastest white human being ever to run. The only white thing I've seen this fast is one of Steve McQueen's sports cars from one of his classic films. Ladd McConkey is going to be a superstar.
After hearing that impressive breakdown from Howie Quackenbush, should the Panthers mortgage their future and trade into the first round to draft him?
For that player, that sounds a lot like this mythical figure, BPA, best player available. And if that's the case, then yes, they should trade everything up to get him. You know, I will say, the first time I ever heard that soundbite, I will not ruin it for the people. I knew that there was some funny business going on, but I was not confident in my young beginning stages WFNZ career to hate on somebody that might just be real. And make fun of their voice, if that's how they really sounded. And so I stayed away from it and acted like I was going along with something that was real. And so I didn't make fun of it. And then I got clowned for it afterwards. But yes, that's a great breakdown by Howie Quackenbush on Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, I agree with it. Everything they said. I mean, I think the Panthers might lose every fan in their fan base if they decided to do that, to go up to the top pick to pick Ladd McConkey.
Bryce Young.
He would have to be an 8-time 1,500 plus yard per season receiver for that to go over on the fans.
Okay. Is that a call in? Did Quackenbush call in and give you that? Did he record that and then so Mac and Bone could play it?
Look, man, I'm not gonna expose the Quacker.
I just wanted to know how Quackenbush sent that take in to the Mac and Bone Show. That's
it
all
was,
I was asking.
It was on the Boot Action podcast.
Okay,
Boot Action. Find it wherever you find your podcast.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. That'll do it for the live wire.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.